If you get a rerun button on that one, and run that back and listen to that again.
Amen.
Like a little play of that on radio.
Amen.
I like good singing. I like it when the saints of God sing from their hearts.
Amen.
I don't like all that showy stuff I have. How many of you tonight brought your wives with you? That's a good thing to bring. You ought to bring your wives with you to church. How many of you brought your husbands? Okay, that's a good thing. How many brought your children? That's very good. How many just came all by themselves? Oh, we can do that too. All right. Now, I can't believe Brother Brian said that he's been cut. I haven't been trying to cut anybody. I've been preaching nice. Haven't I been preaching nice? I just being nice. I don't know how you got cut. I don't know what's going on. Must be this sword right here. Now, how many people got a sword in their hand tonight? Let's see them. I want to see them things. Okay, great. I came with Grandma tonight. We got down the road. She says, I got to go back. Oh, why you got to go back? I got to get my Bible. I know you're going to ask me if you get my Bible. Sorry about that, Grandma. Amen. She's got it. She's supposed to have. Open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Matthew in chapter 19. Grandma also enlightened me on some things on the way here. She says, now, you know you're my favorite son-in-law. I happen to be her only son-in-law, but she said I'm her favorite son-in-law. And she said, you have to remember some of us elderly people can't hear very well, so you have to preach a little bit louder. So I'm going to be a little bit louder today, so I don't want nobody missing part of the message tonight. Amen. Right, now see there? I think we're getting in some revival around here when we got Grandma shouting out, Amen. There's hope yet. Open your Bibles to Matthew in chapter 19 and we'll begin reading at verse 16. And my Bible says, and behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good thing should I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Now if your Bible says something to the effect that, why askest thou me concerning the good, you need to go back to that store and get your real Bible.
Amen.
If your Bible does not say, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Somebody pull the wool over your eyes.
Amen.
But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And let us pray. Our Father which art in heaven, we are thankful for an opportunity to come here tonight. We are thankful that we are allowed to open up the Holy Scriptures and see what your word has for us. God, we do pray for Evelyn. We pray that you are the great physician. We pray that you'd reach down with your healing hand and heal her body. Lord, we do pray for other brothers and sisters here tonight. Their burden hasn't been mentioned. We pray that if they're ill, that you'd reach down and heal them. God, we pray for those that have burdens of perhaps sin or other types of burdens, maybe financial burdens, maybe problems in their marriage, maybe problems in their home. God, we pray that you just reach down and give them a peace that passeth understanding. Lord Jesus, we pray for those that have asked the same question. What must we do to be saved? What must we do to have eternal life? May that question be answered. hands to the night, and may they enter into life this very night. God, we pray You'd give us revival. God, You'd have mercy upon us sinners. Oh God, look upon us and remember that we're but dust and ashes. Oh God, look down upon us in grace and grant us much grace and mercy this night. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Are there any sinners here tonight?
Amen.
Is there anybody here interested in finding out how they can have eternal life? I think that is a vital question. I think that is an important question that ought to be asked. What must I do to that I may have eternal life? I don't think there's more important questions you could ask anywhere, at any time, in any generation, in any place on the planet. What must I do that I may have eternal life? There came a man unto Jesus Christ. Now that's a place to go. If you want to find out about eternal life, you ought to go to Jesus Christ. I don't know about going to religion. I don't know going about some of these prophets. But going to the Lord Jesus Christ, He's not going to steer you wrong. And you go to the Lord Jesus Christ, He's going to tell you something that you ought to hear. Not many people, when you ask them what must they do to have eternal life, they have all sorts of opinions. Isn't that true? They got lots of opinions. Well, I think. Well, my pastor said. Well, my minister said. Well, our religion teaches. Well, we think. Well, the Koran says. In the Book of Mormon. Well, you know, I read a book one time. Well, Pastor so-and-so told me one time. There is a lot of opinions out here tonight. But you know what we can do? We can group all of those opinions together and we can boil it down to one thing. Everyone understands if you're going to go to heaven, you got to be good. Isn't that right? No bad people go to heaven. There are no unrighteous people in heaven. Did you know that? This is not a test tonight. I'm not giving no test tonight. I'm not trying to trick anybody tonight. No unrighteous person is in heaven. Do you understand that tonight? There are only righteous people in heaven. And if you're going to go to heaven, you got to be righteous. The Roman Catholics understand that. The Protestants understand that. The Jehovah's Witnesses understand that. The Mormons understand that. Muslims understand that. Hindus understand that. If you're going to go to heaven, if you believe in heaven, if there is a heaven, I believe there is. If you're going to go to be with God, if you're going to be in the kingdom of God, you must be righteous. That's a fact. And for this, we're all in agreement, or we should be in agreement. Look, we're going to look at a lot of verses tonight, so I hope you came ready. I hope if you didn't bring one of them little thumbs like they give down to the post office to sort the mail with, then you might be in trouble because we're going to go through the Bible tonight. And I hope are you all ready?
Amen.
Fasten your seat belts. Like I tell my sons, I'm teaching them how to drive. Check the mirrors. Here we go. Rev her up. Start her up. Crank her. Turn the page. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Are you there yet? No speeding. I say chapter 6. I meant chapter 9. I say chapter 9, but I really meant chapter 6. See, I didn't want you to get there before I did. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Now, when I said that you only go to heaven, only people that go into heaven are righteous people, some of you looked at me like, that can't be right. So I'm going to open up the Word of God. I'm not going to opinionate tonight. I'm going to give you the Word of God. And we're going to see what God says about this subject. Now notice what it says in the book of 1 Corinthians, that's in the New Testament, chapter 6 and verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Some of you didn't know that. Some of you thought that you could just go through life, live like the devil, do whatever you want, and somehow this great God of love and mercy and whatnot is just going to overlook your sins and allow you to go to heaven. Isn't that what some of you thought tonight? That's some of what you thought. You thought, some of you guys thought that, didn't you? You thought that somehow God was a Santa Claus. Oh, I hate to pick on that guy, but he doesn't even exist, so it's not going to hurt his feelings. There's no such critter. Some of you thought that you could go through life being naughty or nice, and come down to Christmas Day, that you were still going to get in. That's the way it's been every Christmas since you was born. And that's what you thought. You thought you was going to get in no matter what. That's not what the Bible says. And God does not lie. God is not pulling your leg. God speaks forth rightly, and He tells you the truth. My Bible says, know you not, don't you know this? Don't you know this? That the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? You must be righteous. And if you're not righteous, if you're not completely righteous, if your righteousness does not satisfy God in heaven, you will not get into heaven. I'll tell a little joke. One of the popes died, and he went to heaven, supposedly. This is a joke. He got up there, and he couldn't get in. The doors were locked. And he began knocking on the door. St. Peter came to the door. This is an illustration. St. Peter came to the door and said, "What's the matter?" He said, "Well, I'd like to get into heaven. But the doors are locked." And St. Peter says, "Well, don't you have the keys? You're the Pope. You're supposed to have the keys." He says, "Yeah, I got the keys, but Martin Luther changed the lock." Now, there's all sorts of ideas, see? All sorts of opinions floating out there. But you mark it down, whether you got the keys or not, if you're not righteous, you're not getting in. Amen. Martin Luther can't change the lock, and the Pope doesn't have the keys, see? It's God Almighty that decides. He made heaven. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He decides who gets in and who doesn't get in. It's a private club. You have to be a member. And if you're unrighteous, you're disqualified, you don't get in. And so, this man that came to Jesus, he understood that. And so he comes to Jesus and he said, now notice what he says. We're back in Matthew now. Put it in reverse, back up, we're going to Matthew. In Matthew in chapter 19 and verse 20, this man comes unto Jesus and he said, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" It seems only natural. There's something within man that he has within him that he must do something good to get to heaven. But before I go farther, I'd like to notice what he said. He said, "Good master." Now that's important. Because now notice what Jesus and how Jesus answers him. Notice what Jesus says. First of all, notice that when the man asked the question, Jesus did not give a statement. Did you notice that? The man asked the question and Jesus asked him a question. You see, the reason is because the man made a statement. This man came to Jesus and said, "Good master." He called Jesus not only good, but called him master. Did you notice that? Is that what your Bible says? Is that what the Word of God says? My Bible says Holy Bible. Is that what yours says? The Holy Bible says this man came to our Savior. This man came to Jesus Christ and he said, "Good master." Did you notice that? Now notice what Jesus said. Why, here's the question. Why callest thou me good? How many here tonight believe that Jesus Christ is good? Would you raise your hand? How many believe, do you believe that Jesus Christ is good? Oh, you think he's great. Amen. I think he's great too. Yes, sirree. I think he's great. I think he's a great God. That's extra credit on that test, boy. I tell you what. Are we in agreement tonight that everyone agrees that Jesus Christ is good? Amen. Hey, did you know what? Did you know the Muslims even got that figured out? They say Jesus Christ is good. Did you know their prophet Muhammad even got that figured out? Said, yeah, he's a good prophet. He's a good man. Did you know there's not a religion on the earth that says Jesus is bad? Everybody is in agreement. Jesus is good. Did you know the Jehovah's Witnesses agree that Jesus is good? Ask them sometime. Ask them, do you think Jesus is a pretty good fellow? Yeah, he's a good man. Ask the Mormons. Do you think Jesus Christ is good? They're going to mark it down every time. They're going to say, yes, he's good. Hey, if you can get a hotline to the Pope, call him up and ask him, "Sir, do you think Jesus Christ is good?" "Well, yes, I do." Go down to your maybe not the synagogue. I stand corrected. Maybe there are some religions in the world that don't believe that Jesus Christ is good. All right, that is a possibility. I stand corrected. But go down any church in America, any pastor. Now, normally they're male, but sometimes I heard they're female now, but you can even ask them. Ask them, is Jesus Christ good? And what are they going to say? Every one of them is going to say, yes, he's good. Isn't that right? Am I right? Now, having asked that question, Jesus begins to make some statements. Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. That is God. Now, it's very important that you get this tonight, because if you jump over this, you're going to misunderstand the passage. If you don't get this, you're going to miss the whole thing. There is none good but God. Amen. Now the Jehovah's Witnesses have a problem. Right. You see? Right. Because right off the bat, they said, yeah, Jesus is good. Isn't that right? Isn't that what they said? You see, now the Mormons got some trouble here. Now the Muslims got some real trouble here. Because they've acknowledged with their mouths, they said, yes, he's good. But Jesus makes a statement. He says, all right, there's none good but one, that being God. Do you understand the problem? Do you see the problem tonight? Now, if it's true that he is the good master, and it's true that he is good, The logical conclusion is what? That he is God. And so that is why Jesus asked this man that came to him and said, good master. Well, he says, why do you call me good? Are you calling me good master because you're recognizing that I am God? You understand? Now, right after you say something like that, man, here go. It's like the cockroaches. You turn on a light and they just start running. You understand what I'm talking about? You say something like that and the JWs, I mean, they just start going crazy. And the Muslims, they just, you know, they might just take their sword out and whack it. A Jehovah's Witness will bellow on, well, how can that be? He's the Son of God. There's no way he can be the Father and the Son at the same time. That's just impossible. Some people just ain't got a brain in their head. They just don't think. What do you mean it's impossible? First of all, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was manifest in the flesh. Do you understand me tonight? I'm going to give you just one simple example. A Jehovah's Witness would say, but it's impossible. How can it be the Father and the Son and the same person and the same God? Yeah, that can't be. Let me ask you tonight, does everybody see well? Everybody, you got your glasses on? Glad to see that. Everybody got their glasses? Grandma said she needs an eye checkup, but everybody can see real well. Nobody is seeing two people here tonight, right? You're only seeing one preacher up here. Am I one person or two people? If you see two people, you got some problems. All right? You didn't get enough sleep last night. You've been drinking too much NyQuil or something. I don't know what happened. But if you see two people, you got some real problems. Would everybody agree that you are looking on one person? Just one. I'm going to ask it one more time because I want to make sure everybody's sure. How many people are you looking at this evening?
One.
Thank you. Just one. You know what? I'm a father. I'm proud of that. I have four children. I'm a father. You know what else? I'm a son. Oh, that can't be, says the JW. That can't be. You're two people. They've been drinking too much NyQuil.
Amen.
You see, I'm a father and I'm a son, but I'm going to let you in a little secret. I'm also a husband. I was preaching this in Poland one time out on the street and some guy says, because I had a good crowd there that day, and I was asking the people, well, how many people have you seen? You know, am I one person or three people? And somebody comes along and says, you're an idiot! I said, all right, well, I'm an idiot too, but how many people am I? All right, I'm a father, I'm a son, I'm a husband, and I'm an idiot. Fine, whatever, you know, but I'm just still one. Do you understand my example tonight? Jesus said, there's none good but one, that being God. Now, if this is true, and I believe it is because that's what the Bible says. Now we got another problem because this man wanted to do something good in order to get eternal life. But if Jesus is the only one good, then he can't get eternal life by doing something good because he himself is not good. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why I said it's very important that you get this. Now, you know what? We're going to read this verse again, this first part of this verse again. Because this verse is not believed. Did you hear what I said? This verse is not believed by the majority of the people on this planet. It's not believed by Roman Catholics. And I don't mean to offend any Roman Catholic. I know you're sensitive. It's not believed by the majority of Protestants. It's not believed by the Jehovah's Witnesses. It's not believed by the Mormons. It's not believed by the Muslims. It's not believed by the Jews. Now, what is not believed? Let's read it again. Verse 17. Why callest thou me good? Now notice, there is none good but one, that is God.
Amen.
That statement, there is none good but one, that is God, the Roman Catholics do not believe, the Protestants do not believe, the Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe, and there's a good chance that you yourself don't believe it. Everybody likes to think they're good. Or at least they're better than their neighbor. But the statement of Jesus Christ, which every one of you testified to tonight, you have all acknowledged, yes, he is good. Jesus Christ said, there's none good. Isn't that what he said? He said, there's none good. You know what that means? That means Benny Hinn is not any good. Now, I probably offended somebody already, right? But that's what Jesus said. Don't get mad at me. Jesus said, if this statement is true, Benny Hinn is not good. Isn't that that's the logical conclusion, right? If the only one good is God, therefore there are no other good ones. Nobody else is good. That means Benny Hinn is not, that means old Joseph Smith is not any good. Now all the Mormons just got offended. You see, and all I did was read what Jesus Christ said. There's none good. That means old Judge Rutherford is not any good. There goes the Jehovah's Witness. Hold the phone. Call the police. I need some protection here. That means Muhammad is not any good.
Amen.
Did you hear what I said? Amen. Muhammad said Jesus was good, but Jesus said Muhammad wasn't.
Amen.
Because only God is good. All right, now we're in a Roman Catholic town. Here it goes. Here it goes. You got your seatbelt on? Here it goes. Here it comes. If Jesus Christ is good, and He's God, and He said there's none good but one, I know some of you have a real problem with mathematics here. There's only good one good. That means, here it goes, John Paul II, the Pope, is not good.
Amen.
Did you hear me tonight?
Amen.
That means he's not good. God is good, and the Pope is bad. Do you understand me tonight?
Amen.
No rocks. I'm still alive. I'm going to go out a little bit farther. Now, some of you big brothers, I want you to be ready. You take your seatbelt. I'm the captain. I'm going to take the seatbelt sign off. You can undo it. Are you ready? Here it goes. Jesus Christ is the only good one, right? Is that what the Bible says? The Holy Bible? God's Word? This is God's Word? This ain't Brent's Word. This is God's Word. Jesus said, only God is good. Here it goes. That means, are you ready, brothers? I didn't hear no amens. Okay. Here it goes. That means Mary isn't any good.
Amen.
Did you hear what I said tonight?
Amen.
The Blessed Virgin Mary is not good because Jesus Christ said that only God is good.
Amen.
Now, I'm not against the Blessed Mary. I'm not against her. I think Jesus Christ saved her just like He saved
Amen.
Me. I happen to agree with Jesus Christ when He said that she was blessed among women. I happen to believe that God did a miracle of grace in her life and allowed her to give birth to our Savior Jesus Christ as a virgin. I happen to believe that. If my daughter came in and tried to tell me that story, I don't know what I'd do to her. But I happen to believe the Virgin Mary when she told the story. You understand? She's blessed among women. It was a miracle of the grace of God in her life. But my Bible says that she's not good because only God is good. Did I miss anybody? All right, now I'm going to get personal. Now I'm going to get the sword out and I'm going to whack it at your head.
Amen.
If God only is good, that means you're not any good.
Amen.
Are you offended now?
Amen.
Do you understand now? Amen. If only God is good, that means you're not any good.
Amen.
You're a sinner.
Amen.
Did you catch that one?
Amen.
If you missed it, I'll run it by you one more time, but this time get your hand up behind your head. I don't want it going over your head. I want you to catch it. Are you ready? If God is good, that means, and He's the only one that's good, that means you're no good.
Amen.
Despite what you think. I don't know how you paint your mirror, but you're no good. Now I'm going to read you some verses. Hold on. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is none. Did you hear this? There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Did you hear that? Every one of them has gone back. They're all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. They're all gone of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There is none. Here it goes again. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. The Apostle Paul said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. The wisest man according to Jesus Christ, Solomon the King, he made this statement, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Now you're going to have to make up your mind tonight who you're going to believe. You're going to believe the opinion about yourself, which is inflated, or you're going to believe what Jesus Christ said about you. Some of you tonight are going to have to make up your mind. Was Muhammad in the right when he said God never had a son? Or was Jesus Christ right when he declared himself to be the Son of God and God in the flesh? Emmanuel, God with us. You're going to have to make a decision. Some of you tonight are going to have to make a decision about your tradition. Because your tradition said that Mary was conceived just like Jesus without sin. My Bible says, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. My Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you can read your Bible from the very beginning to the very end and you'll not find one verse that says that Mary or Paul or Peter or anybody else in the Bible outside of Jesus Christ was without sin. Amen. But my Bible declares openly and plainly and directly that Jesus Christ was without sin. There was a man named Pilate and some Pharisees and Sadducees and a high priest ran a 3.5-year investigation on Jesus Christ. You think Mr. Starr spent a lot of money? They searched the land. They looked everywhere. They had a trial. They wanted to impeach him. They wanted to throw him out of office. They wanted to crucify him. They wanted to find something wrong with him. They did a big search on him and they found nothing. All his enemies were against him and they searched and they searched and they searched and they could find nothing. The judge himself came out on record and made a statement, I find no fault in the man. Amen. He was innocent and they crucified him anyway. You know why? Because he offended them. He made a statement that people don't like. He made a statement that said he only is good and they were sinners. Some of you want my head. You'd like to scalp me. That's why I keep my hair short, see? Some of you are going to accuse me of being ugly, but I'm just trying to tell you what Jesus said. If this statement is true, that only God is good and that God is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ is God, then all others are sinners and there's none good. No, not one. But I open up tonight saying that if you want to go to heaven, you had to be righteous. I would dare say that God demands absolute righteousness. And so this man comes to Jesus Christ and he says, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Jesus asked the question, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Now you know what the man should have said right here? He should have said, I understand. I see what you're saying. I understand. I'm a sinner and I can't do anything good. I'm already a sinner. Now what can I do? But he didn't do that, see. He had an inflated opinion of himself, like some of you here tonight. Now don't be critical of this man because you've done the same thing yourself. Right? Right?
Amen.
Thank you. He said unto him, now watch. Now here's how the sinner works. Here's how the sinner works. He wants to know what good thing he's got to do to get eternal life. And Jesus tells him, well, there's only one good, and that's God. Now he says, well, which? As if this man didn't know the commandments. And if Jesus Christ tells you, if you want to have life, keep the commandments, I would presume that he means all of them.
Amen.
Right? It's not pick and choose, you know. And so this man is looking for an escape because he's not honest. And if you want to go to hell faster than greased lightning, don't be honest. Deceive yourself.
Amen.
Pretend that you're good. Pretend that you're better than you are. Pretend that you're better than the Catholics. Pretend that you're better than the Protestants. Pretend you're the most faithful. Go ahead and deceive yourself and you'll wake up in hell one day. Or you'll go knocking on the pearly gates and the door's going to be locked and you're not going to get in. Don't be a fool. Witch. You understand what I'm saying tonight? I'm trying to persuade you to be honest with yourselves. The problem we have in our generation is that people love their tradition and they love their opinion about themselves. That they won't be honest. They will not look at the scriptures and be honest and say, you know what? I was wrong. I thought that. Now there's nothing wrong with thinking that. It's only natural. But when you get God's opinion on it, then you better change your mind.
Amen.
Now, some of you teachers here tonight, I think you're going to be in agreement with me, and I hope you give me a good amen. Now, if there's nothing worse than with a student come up, now, teacher, that answer can't be right. I think I know better than you. Look, I wrote the test. I know the answer. No. You understand what I'm saying tonight? You're going to argue with God? But God demands absolute righteousness. And so, Jesus said, okay, you want to know which? He says, all right, I'll give you a few. Thou shalt do no murder. Is that good enough? Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, what do you think the man's going to say? Do you think he's going to be honest? Do you think the man is going to say, oh, I didn't catch the first point, and now I understand. Now I understand that I'm a guilty sinner. Have mercy upon me. You think the man's going to be honest? We're not dealing with an honest man here. The young man says, yeah, look, he says, young man. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Do you believe him? All right. Thou shalt do no murder. When we got to leave, when we were leaving Warsaw, Poland to come home, it wasn't about a month ago, the young man, we don't know how old he is, went up to the police chief of Warsaw with one of them 9mm pistols. The man was getting out of his car, went up to him with that 9mm pistol, put it right to his head and blew his brains out. Thou shalt do no murder. He's guilty of murder. Turned on the radio driving in the church to the meetings here, I don't remember which meeting, heard on the radio, a 13-year-old, I'm not sure which way it went, a 13 and a 12-year-old, one was a boy and one was a girl, I don't know which is which, got upset with their daddy because their daddy had gotten divorced from their mother, began seeing another young lady, 29 years old, they went and got their daddy's gun, and they blew her away. Thou shalt do no murder. That's what Jesus said, isn't it? Isn't there a commandment? Isn't one of those commandments, the 10 commandments? Thou shalt not kill. I think we ought to spend some time in America. I think we ought to spend some time teaching young people that thou shalt not kill.
Amen.
Did you hear what I said? Amen. Now we would think we should be able to take that for granted, but I think that we have to teach these young people, thou shalt not kill. You don't have a right to take somebody else's life. God did not give you that power or authority. You don't have a right to get mad and pull out a gun and shoot somebody. Hey, in Europe they're saying America's gone to pot. Because they hear all the time about young people, not even 15 years old, taking guns down in the schoolhouse and shooting people. Why they don't look at themselves and see all the people they're shooting, I have no idea. I mean, Stalin killed a lot of people. I mean, Hitler killed a lot of people. They're killing a lot of people over there in Africa right now, fighting among themselves. Somebody's getting murdered right now this night in San Antonio. Jesus said, thou shalt not kill. You want to go to heaven? Thou shalt not kill. You want to do something good in order to go to heaven? You want to be righteous and keep the commandments of God? You want to do it? If you kill somebody, you don't get in. Now, how many people does that exclude on our planet Earth today? How many murders are committed in San Antonio during a year? Close to 1,000? I don't know. Who knows the statistics? How many? About 200. That's in San Antonio. How about in the state of Texas? How about in this great nation of ours? How about down below the border in Mexico? How about over in Poland? How many murders? According to Jesus, they don't get in. Because the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What's the next one? You say, you know what? Almost to a T, every person I talk to about getting eternal life and ask them, what must you do to have eternal life? Almost every one of them says, keep the commandments. Keep the commandments. Do good. Has anybody done any soul winning? Everybody talked to people? Isn't that true? What do you got to do to get to heaven? Well, you got to keep the commandments. You have to do good. And then you say, well, which commandments? And they say, well, you know, thou shalt not kill. Almost every time. Ain't that right? And you know what? They pat themselves on the back and they say, I ain't killed nobody. Huh? That's why Jesus gave the second one. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Some of you young men here today have not reached the age of 15 and you've already violated that one. Not even 15 years old and you've already violated that one. You want to know how corrupt our society is? I heard over in Poland that you got a teacher 29, 30 years old having sexual relationships with a student about 13 or 14 years old. Jesus said, if you want eternal life, thou shalt not commit adultery. And I think that would cover fornication as well. I don't want to be crude. I don't want to say something that would offend you unnecessarily. But some of you people ought to keep your hands in your pockets. You understand what I'm saying? You don't have a right to touch a young lady's body. You understand me tonight? You do not have a right to paw all over her. I was telling somebody in the old days, you go to see a young lady and take her out on a date, you had to talk to dad. Now, how my son-in-law got away with visiting my daughter without coming to see me, I don't know, but good thing I knew your dad, boy. He don't know I had Brother Linda watching out for me, see? Yeah. Gary had to talk with him. I got some brother-in-laws that take care of me while I'm gone. But in the old days, that young man come courting, and the dad says, all right, you can all can sit on the swing for an hour, and he hands the young man a block of wood and a knife. He says, now when I come back here, I want to see a spoon. That's called spooning. Some of you old timers might know what I'm talking about, right? Huh? Now that daddy was pretty smart back in them old days, see? But what do we got in our generation now? We got 12 and 13 year old girls about ready to download. Now, I'm not talking about computers. Do you understand what I'm saying? They're with child already. You want eternal life? If you're an adulterer and a fornicator, you're out the door. You don't get in. Now, how many is that excluded? I mean, we're whittling it down. We're getting down to almost nobody, right? He said, thou shalt not steal. If somehow you slip through the first two. I don't even know why they say stop and go. It's probably stop and rob, see? Thou shalt not steal. I would think that you're not allowed to steal from Uncle Sam either, right? Hello. Are you still with me? Income tax coming around the corner. Thou shalt not steal. Hello. Some of you employees, are you stealing your employer's time? I think we have an employer in the crowd. You employers, are you paying a good wage to your employees? Did you hear what I said tonight? Thou shalt not steal. I think we ought to teach our young people they should not steal. They shouldn't steal out of mama's purse. They shouldn't steal cookies out of the cookie jar. They shouldn't go into the refrigerator and get pralines and cream when they shouldn't. Especially when it says dads. I think it was you. Going to my refrigerator, my dear, sweet, kind daughter bought me some pralines and cream. And I haven't had pralines and cream in 3.5 years. And I go into the refrigerator and I look and somebody had already got their fingers in it. Or at least the spoon. Hey, what happened to my pralines and cream? Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Hey, they drummed up charges against our Savior and then crucified him because a couple boys got together and told some lies. It was just a little one. It was just, oh, did you ever hear this one? It was just a white one. Whoever painted lies white. Knock on the door one time. Hello, young man. Young man answered the door. I said, is your mama home? I'd like to talk to her. Just a minute, I'll go get her. I'm waiting. The young man comes back and said, my mom's not home. Oh, your mom's not home, is she? Well, when will she be back? Just a minute, I'll go ask her. Huh? Ha, 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 ha. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Did you hear me tonight?
Amen.
Jesus said, if you want to go to heaven, keep the commandments. Do you want eternal life? Keep the commandments. You that think that you got to do good to go to heaven and you got to keep the commandments, all right, Jesus is going to take you up on your word. Keep the commandments. But thou shalt do no murder. Out goes a whole bunch of people. Thou shalt not commit adultery. There goes a whole bunch more. Thou shalt not steal. There goes a whole bunch more. Thou shalt not bear false witness. There goes some more. Now here we go. I think we're going to lose everybody in America. Honor thy father and thy mother. In America? Read a story just the other day. Old man had 3 boys. He's getting up in years and he was getting concerned that they wouldn't come around to visit him anymore. Wouldn't come and see their dear old pappy, dear old dad. So this man, he was pretty smart. Went out and got him a big old treasure chest. You know what I'm talking about, a big one, about 3 foot high, about so. Then he went out, went to one of these places where they crushed glass, and he got a whole bunch of glass, crushed glass, and he put it inside this treasure chest, just filled it up. Then he went out and got him one of them big old mama locks, and he put that lock on that treasure chest. And then he put it right there in his living room, and then he put a sign on it, this is for my boys when I die. And they come over there, and they said, hey Dad, what's in that box? Oh, something I've been saving for all. Well, open up. No. It's just something I've been saving. And so when Dad wasn't around, they'd get together and they'd start shaking that box and they'd hear that glass and they're shaking. Dad's been saving all his coins all these years. That's what it sounded like. Sounds like money, Jim. That isn't all. And he says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If we missed anybody so far, if it somehow, somehow somebody got through all of this, I think here goes. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Oh yeah, I'm going to keep all the commandments of God. I'm going to keep the commandments of God. Our church teaches us in order to go to heaven, we have to keep the commandments of God. We have to keep the sayings of Jesus. That's how we're going to get to heaven. That's how we get eternal life. All right, here's one. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, I do. What's his name? Who? Your neighbor. What's his name? Do you understand me tonight?
Yeah.
I'm not going to embarrass you tonight because I'm not going to ask you your neighbor. I normally do this. But I come here a changed man. I'm trying to be kind. I'm trying to be compassionate. I'm not going to embarrass you. And I'm not going to ask you, what's your neighbor's name? I already know the answer. You don't know. Isn't that true? What is it that you have done for your neighbor recently, just recently, that you've done for yourself? Now, some of you, I look out here, you treat yourself real good. I know, because some of you have been treating me real good. Huh? What is it you've done for your neighbor? Now, when I first heard about this commandment, I thought, I got to change neighborhoods. Did you hear me tonight? Some of you people, I don't mind treating good. I happen to like you. I'm not a recluse. I just like to pick my company. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Isn't it amazing when people say, well, I think I have to keep the sayings of Jesus, or I have to, listen to me. I have to keep the commandments of the Lord in order to get eternal life. Then we turn the question around, well, do you? And all of a sudden, they're no longer commandments, they're suggestions. Well, God suggested that we do a few... No, no, He didn't. He commanded. God demands absolute righteousness. Now, look in your Bible in James in chapter 2 and verse 10. You say, I'm going to keep the commandments. All right, I tell you what. You mark it down. Listen to me tonight. Listen to me. If you are absolutely righteous, God is not going to keep you out of heaven.
That's right.
Did you hear what I said? I know for some of you that's a shocker. But I'm telling you the truth tonight. If you are absolutely righteous, God is not going to keep you out of heaven. If you keep the commandments of God, God will not keep you out of heaven. He himself said he came not to save the righteous. Righteous people don't need salvation. Hey, if you're righteous tonight, you don't need a savior. All right, let's read it. James in chapter 2. Now, this is the favorite chapter of Jehovah's Witnesses, of Roman Catholics, of Mormons, of Adventists, of Protestants. Everybody loves this chapter. But they just jump over this verse almost every time. I don't know how they get down farther, about 25, 26, somewhere down in there. I don't know how it is they get down that far without ever getting to this verse. But let's read and see what it says. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, that's all them people that said, I'm going to go to heaven by keeping the commandments of God. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet, now listen, offend in one, how many points? One point, some of you need to count. One point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. Isn't that what the Bible says?
Amen.
If you offend in how many points?
One.
How many points?
One
point. That means it's not good enough to say, well, I haven't killed anybody. You got some more points to cover. You yourself believe there are at least 10 commandments. Well, you got 9 more to go. How you doing on the other 9? You say, well, I've got that one, and I got that one, and I got that one, and I got that one. How you doing on this one? Well, I don't like that one. Well, then the chain is broken. You see, if you're hanging on a chain to get you into heaven, and you know God is going to pull you up by this chain of commandments, it just takes one link for the whole thing to come tumbling down.
Amen.
Isn't that the truth?
Amen.
Isn't there a saying in English? They say something about the strength of the chain is measured by its weakest link. Where are you weak tonight? Maybe you can puff your feathers and talk to people about saying how you haven't killed anybody. You're not a murderer. You never took a 9mm and shot the mayor of Warsaw, Poland. Maybe you never did take a shotgun out and blow your daddy's brains away. Maybe you did never take a rifle down there to the schoolhouse and shoot some young people. Maybe you never did get a AK-47 and shoot up McDonald's. Maybe you never did get up in the tower over here in Austin, Texas and shoot students as they're walking. Maybe you never did that. But have you loved your neighbor as yourself? My Bible says, cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people shall say,
Amen.
Amen. My Bible says in Galatians in chapter 3 and verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. My Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. And I want you to know that God is a good employer. He always pays the wage, and He pays the proper wage. God demands absolute righteousness. Is that true?
Amen.
You want to go to heaven? Jesus said. You want eternal life? Jesus said, keep the commandments. If you keep the commandments, you'll have eternal life. Did you hear what I said tonight? Now, I know that's a shocker. If you keep the commandments, God will not keep you out of heaven. But the problem is, there's not one of you ever going to keep the commandments. The problem some of you have tonight is you're lying to yourselves thinking you keep them. You conveniently forget all the ones you don't keep. And then you, when you don't keep them, then you cover them over. You excuse yourselves. You call a lie a white lie. You begin making excuses for your sin. Well, I was hungry. That's why I stole. Well, I murdered him because I didn't like him. Without excuse, what the Bible says. If you offend in one point, you're guilty of all. You see, the same God that said, thou shalt not kill, also said, thou shalt not bow down before graven images. Now, how Roman Catholics ever got past that, I don't know. And I don't mean to offend you tonight. But you're not allowed to bow down before a graven image. You're not allowed to walk down to San Juan de los Lagos and bow down before a graven image. God said, don't do that. Yeah, but you said, I haven't killed anybody. Yeah, but the same God that said, thou shalt not kill, said, don't make any graven images and don't bow down before them.
Amen.
And who are you to say that you're allowed to do that when God said, don't do it?
Right.
Some of you spank your kids because they didn't obey you. You think God's not going to spank you because you didn't obey Him? Some of you don't allow your children to get away with things. You hold them to your word. You said, I told you to do it, now do it. God said, don't do this, and you better not do it. God demands absolute righteousness. We got a problem, though. Look in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20. I am trying to persuade you with strong arguments from scriptures to believe what the Bible says about this thing of eternal life. I'm trying to convince you tonight to be honest with yourself. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20, my Lord says, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed, did you notice that? Exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now we got some strange birds flying around in this country. I should say on this planet. I mean some real strange ones. We got some people saying, well, I think that a man has to be good in order to go to heaven, but they're not doing good. We got some strange people. They say, well, I ask them, I say, what do you got to do to go to heaven? They say, well, you got to go to church. And then I ask them, well, do you go to church? No. So you don't want to go to heaven? Oh, yeah, I want to go to heaven. Well, let's start all over. What do you got to do to go to heaven? Well, you got to go to church. Do you want to go to heaven? Yes, I want to go to heaven. Do you go to church? No. I don't understand. You ask somebody, what is it you do have to do to get eternal life? You have to be good. What are you? Well, I'm trying. How hard are you trying? Well, come to find out, they make it to church once a year. Oh, man, they're really trying hard. All right? What did Jesus say here? He said your righteousness had to exceed that of the Pharisees and the scribes, right? And if your righteousness doesn't exceed that, ye shall in no case, that means no exception, right? No case comes before the high tribunal of God and say, well, this is an exception. No case is going to come before Him. No case enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's what He said, right? Can Jesus lie? Was He pulling your leg? He was telling the truth. All right, now notice, Luke in chapter 18. Quickly. We find a man that was a Pharisee. Look in Luke in chapter 18, down about verse 10. Jesus said, two men went up into the temple to pray. Now, that's a good thing to do, ain't it? Go up to the temple to pray, you ought to pray. The one a Pharisee, and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood, now notice how this Pharisee's praying. Stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee. Now notice what this Pharisee is doing. First of all, he's going to the temple. Do you go to the temple? I mean, is it your habit to go to church? Is it your habit to seek out God? This Pharisee had a tradition or had a custom or had something within him that he understood. I need to go to the temple and I need to seek God. Are you seeking God? Jesus said your righteousness has to exceed that of the Pharisees. Isn't that what he said? The Pharisees sought God, right? Are you following me? And not only the Pharisee sought God, the Pharisee prayed. Do you pray? Do you pray? When was the last time you prayed? Do you pray? You say you're going to go to heaven by being good, and you're going to be righteous. Jesus said your righteousness has to exceed that of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were people that went to the temple. The Pharisees were the people that obviously believed in God. The Pharisees were people that prayed. And he said, God, I thank thee. Do you thank God? The Pharisees thank God. You want to go to heaven by being righteous? You want to go to heaven by doing good? Are you better than this Pharisee? He thanked God. Some of you, excuse the expression, please excuse me. Some of you eat. When you sit down to eat, you eat like dogs. And I'm not trying to offend you, but I'm saying a dog never stops to thank God for the food.
That's right.
He just sees the food and he runs right over there and eats. Now, Grandma, all right, that probably was offensive. I apologize. Some of you eat like cats. You see, Grandma's got some cats. She lives out in the country. She's got about, I don't know, I think 25. There's probably less, but every time I step outside, there's a bunch of cats up there. Do not walk out the door of Grandma's house with food. I mean, these cats will attack you. And if you put any food out there, they'll attack each other. They got no time to thank God or anybody else. That's what I meant by that. Some of you, you sit down, and your wife has slaved all day long to cook. You don't thank her? You can say amen against this. Amen. Slaved all, you don't thank her, and you don't thank God. I mean, she's coming out, and you're grabbing it off. She ain't even got it on the table yet, and you're already grabbing it. That's what I meant. Some people eat like dogs, because that's what a dog does. How many of you have dogs? Has this ever happened to you? You turn the can opener on and the dog food's open and here they come. He just running. And if you got a little one, they're the worst. They're jumping up on you, right? Isn't that right? And then you get in the bowl there and then you start carrying the bowl and then he jump and you'd almost triple. Isn't that right? Well, that's what I'm trying to say is somehow some of you eat. I mean, the food is barely on the table and it's already gone. Well, this Pharisee took time to thank God. And I'm telling you tonight, you ought to thank God. For the food you have, there's some people in the world that don't have any food. Now, I know it takes a miracle of grace to thank God for kapusta and black beans. But even that, you should thank God for. This Pharisee thanked God, right? He said, I'm not as other men. Are you as other men? Are you different? Is there any difference in your life? You're just the same? No difference? That's the problem that I have with religion today. There's no difference. They're the same they were from the day they were born. There is no difference. He says, I'm not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Notice what he said, I fast twice in a week. Some of you have never fasted. Isn't that right? Some of you need to fast. This man fasted twice in a week. Oh, now notice what else he did. I give tithes of all that I possess. That means he gave 10% of all his income. Everything that he possessed, he gave 10% of. Remember we found this Pharisee in Mexico. He thought he's going to go to heaven by keeping the commandments. We asked him to be tithe. He said, yeah, I tithe all that I have. But what he meant by that is he had a little business. He sold little candies outside his door. This man was a wealthy man. What he meant when he tithe, said that he tithed only of the money that he made from that business. But the literally thousands and thousands of pesos that he had in the bank, no, I don't, that's not for tithing. This man said he tithed all that he possessed. Are you more righteous than that? Do you understand what I'm saying tonight? You want to go to heaven by being good and being righteous, but Jesus said your righteousness has to exceed that of the Pharisees. In the Old Testament it says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. In the New Testament it says, they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. The Apostle Paul said in the book of Philippians in chapter 3 and verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And my Bible concludes, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
Can you look into the mirror of God's Word and take a good, long look at yourself and be honest for a moment tonight and say that I'm a sinner, that I'm unclean, that I'm undone, that I'm not worthy, and that if I gotta do good to make it to heaven, that I'm not gonna make it? Can you say honestly tonight that if I have to keep the commandments of God in order to get eternal life, then I'm not gonna get eternal life? The problem with many of you tonight is you won't say that. You'll go on deceiving yourselves, thinking that you are keeping the commandments of God when you're not keeping them. Now look back at our text. Matthew chapter 19. Jesus, I believe that Jesus Christ is trying to bring this man to a point of faith. I believe he's using the law of God, in the way the law of God was supposed to be used. The book of Galatians says the law was given to draw all men to Christ. And I believe that Jesus Christ was trying to hold up this law of God so that the man could take a long look at himself. But he was so full of pride that his eyes were all puffed up, he couldn't see. He got so fat on pride that he was just swollen. His head was so swollen up. And he couldn't see straight. Now notice what this man says down in verse 20. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? What do you think? You think he loved his neighbor as himself? What do you think? If we asked him if he knew his neighbor, he'd even know him? What do you think? If we asked him if he loved them Gentiles, that he loved them? Hello. Huh? Well, maybe he was telling the truth. But Jesus was concerned about him, about his soul, so he held the mirror of God's law just a little bit closer so he could get a good look. Notice Jesus didn't run off and say, no, it's not by works. I preached on soul winning last night. Here's the greatest soul winner ever. Notice his tactics. Notice how he deals with sinners. Did you understand me tonight? I've gotten a lot of debates with a lot of people, but I learned something from Jesus. When he dealt with self-righteous sinners, he just held the law up to them. When somebody says, well, you know, I think I ought to be a Roman Catholic in order to go to heaven. Well, are you? When was the last time you confessed your sins to a priest? Well, I don't like that priest. Well, if you're going to be a Roman Catholic to get to heaven, you're going to have to confess your sins to a priest. Hey, I'm going to let you out on a secret. The Roman Catholic teaches that you have to keep 7 sacraments. Are you keeping them? Hey, I'm going to let you something else. The Roman Catholic canon teaches that you have to keep the 10 commandments. Are you keeping them? Hey, I'm going to tell you something. The Roman Catholic Church has 5 laws and the demands that you keep them. One of this, you're supposed to go to Mass. Are you going to Mass? One of them is, hey, I'm going to let you something. You're supposed to give 10% of your money to the church. Have you? You say you're going to be a Roman Catholic in order to go to heaven? Are you? You see, you're just not honest with yourself. You're not even a good Roman Catholic. Some of you think you ought to be a Protestant. Well, are you? So Jesus holds up this perfect law. Notice what he says in verse 21. Jesus said unto him, if thou will be perfect, you want to go to heaven, you better be perfect. If thou will be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. Now, you would not believe that I have dealt with sinners, and maybe you have too, that we've gotten just as far as we've gotten up to here, to verse 20. And the sinners see, yeah, which commandments? They start off saying, good master, calling Jesus good, and then refusing to acknowledge that he is the only one good, and that there's none good but one, that being God. And they press on. And then we begin listing some of the commandments, and then they have the audacity to say, well, all these have I kept from my youth up. And then they still insist, well, you know, we have to keep the sayings of Jesus. Well, here's a saying of Jesus. Is this a saying of Jesus? Now, somebody was kind enough to put little red letters in my Bible so that I knew that this was a saying of Jesus, see? This is a saying of Jesus. In fact, in case I missed it, it says, Jesus said. Here's a saying of Jesus. If thou would be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor. Now, you want to go to heaven by doing good? What do you got in your driveway? Sell it. Did you hear me tonight? Sell it. What do you got in your garage? Got a boat in there? Sell it. You got one of them craftsman saws? Sell it. Got one of them boxing things? Sell it. Huh? You got some fishing poles? Sell it. What do you got in your living room? Got one of them big screen TVs? Still making payments on it? Sell it. Got a sofa? Sell it. You just put a brand new rug down? Pull it up? Sell it. What you got in your room? What you got in there? Some of you ladies got a jewelry box. Open it up, get all of them jewelers out. Sell it. While you're at it, get them rings off your hands and your watch. Sell it. Isn't that what he said? Am I reading it wrong? He said, sell all that you have. Now once you got the whole house emptied, now I'll put that big old house up for sale. Sell it. Now, some of you are thinking, hey, you know, stock market's going crazy. I think that's a good idea. I think I'll sell. And I think I'll invest. I think this is the time. The time is now. You know, oil prices are way down and we're sure to, you know, YKK2 or 2KY or something like that's going to happen. You know, we know something's gonna happen pretty soon. You know, now's the time to invest because there's gonna be a collapse and now, yeah, that's right, we're gonna sell! You ever watch them guys down at the New York stock market? Sell! I mean, them guys are going crazy, sell! But Jesus didn't say, just sell. Then he said, now some of you can't read, we're gonna go back and read this. Some of you think Jesus said, sell and invest. Isn't that right? Some of you need to go to the eye doctor and check your glasses out. Jesus said, sell that thou hast and give. Is that what he said? Now that hurt some of you. That hurt. You don't know what that word means. Right? The only idea, the only way you have any understanding of this word give is you think that somewhere along at the end of that it also says, I'm going to get. Right? Isn't that what you do at Christmas time? Hello, 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 hello. You give because you know they're going to give to you. And the first time that you give to someone and they didn't give to you, we're going to find out if you give to them next year. See? You understand what I'm saying? People give to get. But that's not what Jesus said. He said give. Now notice what he said, give to whom? Some of you are willing to give to your wife or give to your husband or give to your children. Right? Now Jesus says, give it to that crowd that every one of you despises. Am I talking to you tonight? Uh-huh. Give to the poor. You see, I don't like being around the poor because I know they want something. And I don't like to give. I don't like giving them a quarter. That's many times that's all they want, just a quarter. You know, just a dollar. Maybe inflation, $2, I don't know. But they're just wanting the change in your pocket, right? But we don't want to do that, see? But at the same time, we're going to open our mouths. Some of you here tonight, we're going to open your mouth and say, I want to get to heaven. I want to have eternal life and I want to earn it. And I'm supposed to keep the sayings of Jesus in order to get eternal life. And you wouldn't give a poor man a quarter. Am I talking to you tonight? I know you got all sorts of excuses. Well, he's a bum. He's a drunkard. I know. I know. I've used them too. Hey, I know. Did you hear me tonight? Now, I've yet to met anybody that was honest enough to say, yeah, I kept that one. Not even this guy. Notice what it says. When the young man heard that, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. We're talking to you because we're in the United States of America. The poorest man, the poorest woman here tonight is rich. You're rich. We say you're filthy rich. You have an over and abundance of goods. Some of you have 3 cars, right? Some of you have 5, 10 pairs of shoes, right? And you still don't want to give. And some of you really believe that you have to keep the sayings of Jesus in order to get eternal life. Do you understand tonight? You're not going to make it that way. If you're honest with yourself, you're not going to make it that way. Woe be to you. God demands absolute righteousness. I think we can say that thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting, if you're honest. If you're deceitful and hypocritical and you're going to go on pretending, then I can't help you. There's nothing I can do. In fact, if you're that away, we just might as well close the book and just go home because there's no helping you. If you're so proud that you can't admit that you're wrong and that you can't get in that away, and you find out that that way is blocked and barred and you try to go in anyway, then God calls you a thief and a liar. That white fence that went around the tabernacle. You can't go that way. But if you got up to that white fence, don't touch it. It'll kill you. You'll drop dead. Don't touch it. But if you follow that white fence, it's going to lead you to a door or a gate or a way. And that way is Christ. Amen. You see, there was a man that came and kept every one of them. You see, I know a man. I want to tell you about him tonight. There was a man that kept every commandment. There was a man that fulfilled the righteousness of God. There was a man that loved his neighbor as himself. There was a man that gave it all. There was a man that went even farther. He said, look, Father, I'll pay the price. The wages of sin is death. I'll take their place. His name is Jesus. He says, for he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. My Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look quickly in Romans in chapter 3. Look down at verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if we stop there, nobody would stand a chance, honestly speaking. You see, we can't get in that way. Not because the law is unholy, unrighteous, but because we're so weak and despicable. How do you say that word? Terrible. Rotten. Filthy. No good. But notice what it says. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be your propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare whose righteousness? His righteousness. for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude, and here's the conclusion. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith. Oh, thank God. Without the deeds of the law. Thank God that God now does not demand your sacrifice. That God knows that your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. God knows that you have fallen short, way short. You don't even come close. You're not even in the race. Can an Ethiopian change his skin? Can a leper change his spots? Then you can do good that are accustomed to do evil. You understand me? You're not even in the race. There's no hope for you. But somehow this great God of love, and now we understand the love of God, don't we? Somehow this great God in His mercy looked down upon sinners and loved them. He didn't love them in word like many of us love God in word only. He loved them indeed. He took upon Himself flesh. He was God manifest in the flesh. He walked among us. He was seen of angels. He was handled of men. Blind men saw Him. He raised the dead. He did no sin. And He went to a place called Calvary. Now why did He go to Calvary? I'd already stated earlier this evening, and you agreed, He did no sin. The judge himself, Pilate, came out and said, I find no fault in a man. But why did He go to Calvary? He went to Calvary because you murdered. He went to Calvary because you committed adultery. He went to Calvary because you went to stop a goal and you robbed. He went to Calvary because you didn't honor your father and mother. He went to Calvary because you didn't love your neighbor. He went to Calvary because you wouldn't sell all that you had. He went to Calvary and suffered abuse for you. He suffered shame for you. He went to Calvary and suffered in your place, in my place. God demanded death for sin. So He went to Calvary for you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hebrews in chapter 10, and we conclude with this chapter. Look down about verse 26. We've already seen you can't get to heaven by the works of the law. I hope you saw that tonight. I hope I've made that as clear and abundantly clear, just clear as crystal. You can't make it because you're a sinner. Now notice what he says. If we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. You're going to go to heaven by keeping the commandments? Well, God's going to call some witnesses in. He's going to call your neighbors in and ask, did he love you as himself? And they're going to say no. And he's going to call another neighbor in. He's going to say, the guy on the left. And he's going to say, did he love you as yourself? And he's going to say no. And you're going to die without mercy. You're going to stand before judgment. And God's going to call a witness in. He's going to call that man that you shot dead. He's going to wait him up there. And he says, is this the man that shot you? Yes, sir. That's the man. He's going to call that mother in. That mother lost that boy. He's going to call her in. Is this the man that shot your son? Yes, sir. And you're going to die without mercy. He's going to call them witnesses in that you lied to. You lied about. You told tales about. He's going to call them in. He says, this is the one. And they're going to point you out. He says, that's the one right there. That's the one. And you're going to die without mercy. You're going to go that way? You're going to die without mercy. Now notice what he says. How much sore punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy who had trodden underfoot the Son of God and had counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and had done despite the Spirit of grace. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Now you know you can't make it to righteousness. Now if you reject Jesus Christ, you've got no other hope. Amen. Jesus Christ bled and died for you, and if you trample on that blood, woe be to you. If you despise and reject that way, there is no other Savior. You have no other hope. You understand me tonight? A man asked the Apostle Paul the very same question that this man asked the Lord Jesus Christ. They asked the Apostle Paul, he asked him, what must I do to have eternal life? And the Apostle Paul answered, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved,
thou and thy house. And that's what I'm going to tell you tonight. Do you want to be saved? Do you want to have eternal life? Then I would say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That, my friends, is the gospel. That is what it's all about. That is what we're preaching, and that's what we want to preach. I don't know how to make it any clearer. I don't know how to say it any straighter. And if you're lost here tonight and you don't have eternal life, I would encourage you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't trust your righteousness. Repent of that. Don't trust your religion. Repent of that. Don't think that you're good enough. You're not. Repent of that. Don't think that your priest or your saint is going to help you. Repent of that idea. Humble yourself before an almighty God and call out to Jesus for mercy. This man in our story tonight was not honest with himself. He should have recognized the first time that Jesus said there's none good but one, that being God. He should have right then said, I understand. You're right. I'm not any good. Have mercy upon me. When Jesus laid out the commandments for him, he shouldn't have said, well, I've done that from my youth. Even if he did, he should have fell down on his knees and cried out, oh God, depart from me because I'm a sinner. Have mercy. And when he saw at the very end that he couldn't do what Jesus demanded of him, you know what he should have done? He should not have went away sorrowful. He should have been sorrowful, but he shouldn't have went away. He would stand in front of the Savior. He should have fell down on his knees and said, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And that's what you should do tonight. You should fall on your knees and you should call out to God and say, oh God, you're righteous and I'm not. Oh God, I have no chance outside of you. I have no hope. Be satisfied with your Son. Save me. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now we're going to stand and sing an invitation song. I'm not sure what song we're going to sing. How about, Lord, I'm coming home? Do we have that one in the hymn book? Is that one in the songbook, Lord, I'm coming home, coming home? 253? Now, Christian friend, you know that I preach to sinners today, right? You know I preach the gospel tonight, right? You know that? In this preaching of the gospel tonight, I tried to show you how you should present the gospel to lost sinners. Some of you hadn't been doing that. Now, I haven't really preached to Christians. I've been preaching to sinners, people that don't have eternal life. I'm talking quickly to you that have eternal life. Some of you are not gospel preachers, and you need to be. Amen. And even though this hasn't been the message, I think you ought to repent. And I think you ought to get on your knees and call out to God for revival. And I think if you really love your neighbor, you ought to get on your knees here tonight and call out for your neighbor that's not saved. We're trying to have revival. And the only way we're going to have a revival is if we can come to a place that we'll humble ourselves. Do you hear what I said tonight? If we really want revival, we're going to have to humble ourselves. God resists the proud every time, but He gives grace unto the humble. Do you understand me, Christian friend? Now, when we start singing the song, I want you to get on your knees. If God's spoken to you tonight, I want you to get on your knees. If you've got a lost neighbor, a lost mother, a lost father, a lost brother, a lost sister, somebody that you're concerned about, and you want to see them saved, I think that you ought to love them and call out their name before God tonight. I think you ought to do that. And I think you ought to be praying for the lost sinners here tonight, those that don't have eternal life. I'm done talking to you Christians. You know what to do now, right? Now, sinner friend, let me tell you, we're believers. We heard this message of God, and we believed. Hey, we found out that God Himself was satisfied with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and we were so glad. Jesus Christ saved us and given us eternal life. We're convinced He wants to give you eternal life. We're convinced He wants to grant you mercy, and we're here to help you. If you don't have eternal life tonight, and you would like to be saved, maybe you didn't quite understand all this, but you got something inside. You said, boy, I sure would like to have eternal life. Would you talk to me some more? We got some brothers here that are more than happy to talk to. And so I'm going to invite you, when we start singing this song, I'm going to invite you to step out into the aisle, walk down here. If you're not sure you have eternal life, I want you to come up to me and grab my hand and say, Brother Brent, I'm not sure about this salvation thing, and I'm not sure that I'm saved, but I'd like to be saved. I'd like to have eternal life. Would you help me? Hey, I'm going to be more happy to help you. I'm going to be more than happy to help you. I'm giving you an opportunity. That's why we have invitations. We give you an opportunity while the Spirit of God is wooing, while the Word of God is fresh and on your heart, before Satan himself has time to come in and pluck the Word of God out of your heart so you can't believe. While it's fresh, while it's there, we encourage you to come. Now we're going to sing this song. What number was it? If God has spoken to your heart, you do what God told you to do. Number 253. Sing it out now. Amen. Some are coming. Sinner friend, do you realize that if you die tonight without Jesus Christ, you'll die without mercy? You know that, sinner friend? Have you ever been born again? Have you ever been saved? Do you know that you have eternal life? We're singing his song, Coming Home. My Bible says, the Spirit says, come. The bride says, come. And I say unto you tonight, come. If you're not saved, this is a perfect opportunity. Jesus Christ is interested in saving sinners. Jesus Christ is interested in giving you eternal life. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Won't you come? Won't you come? Sing that next stanza. Amen. Amen. I'm going to let Brother Brian take this invitation over. I got some praying to do myself. I got some humbling to do myself. So Brother Brian's going to take over this invitation. If God's spoken to you, you do what God has told you to do. Come home.